Good morning and welcome to Go Live Sunday.
Today we have Chris Bennett leading us in worship and Ken Benjamin from Chichester Baptist Church, and he's going to be kicking off a new series called Frontline, All the Difference in the World.
We're so excited to be together as a church family, even if we can't be in one place physically. So let's go for it this morning, expecting to meet God.
It's so good that we have Ken Benjamin sharing with us this morning as we kick off our Frontline series, fresh from last Sunday, where we were thinking about our own stories of what God is doing in us and through us. It was great how what Ken shared with us a while back really inspired us to think about places we get to share life together with those around us. Ojan and Sally really got hold of this when they were thinking about the running group, and it's been great just seeing how Welton runners have been really creative. Even through lockdown, they've made a quest to find hidden locations, or you could join in with some online exercises. And it was brilliant that back when you could, a few volunteers joined a wider team to work clearing a path in the town park. I love seeing things like this, where there's that space for people to meet and spend time together, and to get to share a bit of their story. A couple of years back, a handful of us heard about Renew Wellbeing Cafes. These are another ideal place to build friendship and trust. And it's great that Sarah Williamson and the team have been really inspired by the idea of running one here at Welton. So here's Sarah and Matt to share a bit more about progress.
Okay, Sarah, the Renew Wellbeing Cafe. Tell us, what is that? What's it all about?
Okay, so Renew Wellbeing Cafes, they've kind of changed it now and they now call them spaces. And it's a safe space for people to come who might be feeling isolated, might be struggling with loneliness, might be struggling with their mental health. And it's a place where they can come and it's okay to not be okay.
And I know that we've been talking about it and praying about it and preparing well. You and others have been doing some training and just kind of getting things in place. Where are we at now? So we're February, looking at coming into March. What are you thinking? When would this be able to begin?
Hopefully, if lockdown eases, it would be good if we could kind of start perhaps after Easter, May time.
So what does it look like when people come along?
Okay, so first of all, it's a really safe place for people to come. There would be tea and coffee and biscuits. We would have things for people to do, so maybe a jigsaw puzzle, board games. People could bring their own hobby if there's something that they really like doing. But the priority is that it's a safe space for people to come and be alongside other people. There's also going to be a time of prayer. Prayer is really important with the Renew Wellbeing. So we would have a space in the chapel where we would just, for 5 or 10 minutes, ask people if they wanted to come and join us in prayer. There's no pressure, they don't have to. And it would be more of a kind of meditation, so perhaps reading a psalm and just kind of reflecting on the psalm.
Okay, last question, but really important one. What, as a local church, can we be praying for you and the team as you prepare?
Okay, so for us as a team, it would be really good if you could pray for the training that we need to continue doing. But I think more importantly than that, it's just that God's timing would be perfect in when we can open. We don't want to open unless we can do this really well. We want, so God's timing.
All right, Sarah, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes. We will definitely be praying.
Thank you.
As we think ahead to the coming months and maybe an end to lockdown haircuts, it's good to be reminded of Jesus' promise from John 16:13, where he said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth." Let's pray with those words in mind as we come to worship today. Lord, thank you that you haven't left us on our own, but that we can know you and your Spirit of truth, and we can completely trust in you to lead us and to have good things in store for us as individuals and as a church. We pray for Sarah and the team as they train and get ready, that they would have a clear sense of your lead and your timing. Thank you that we are part of your church, your family. And if we sometimes hold things a bit too tightly, as if they're somehow our own, we're sorry and we hand those things back to you. Lord, we look forward to knowing you guiding us.
Hi to our friends at Wilton Baptist Church. It's good to be with you again. I will film most of this from the comfort of my own house, but I thought I'd film just a little bit from my city walls, as I've come to you from Chichester a couple of times already, because just around from the city there's a whole bunch of different people's front lines, offices and homes, and so many front lines are now homes. And as you begin this frontline series, we're considering the places where people spend most of their time, and particularly most of their time with people who don't yet share their faith. And some of that has changed, of course, in this season, but we still have front lines and we still have ways of connecting with those who need the message of hope.
Hi to all at Wilton. It's good to be inside now, less of a jumpy camera and hopefully slightly clearer sound, but I wanted to greet you from my city, having been to your church over at least a couple of weekends now. It feels like being back with friends, and even on this online way, it feels like that. It was great to be with you. I've got lots of happy memories, including the meal that I shared with one of your families and spilt sauce, was it ketchup or mayo, on somebody as I shook the bottle. You know who you are. Thank you for laughing rather than crying. That was all good. And now you're looking at Frontline Sundays with the title for the first in the series, All the Difference in the World. I'm so glad that you're looking at this series. We're hearing from churches from all over the UK who are doing this series, including in this lockdown time, and finding it particularly relevant. And I pray that you will too in this season. So let's begin with a reading. And it's from the beginning of 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Is this one of those readings that is just an intro to a letter, like an intro to an email, and you just have to get past it to get to the content? It's so often easy to think of the letters of the Bible that way, isn't it? I used to wonder why it started with a name, whereas our letters, remember when we used to get letters? Maybe you still send them. Have the name at the bottom. And the theory I came up with, which isn't substantiated in any historian's look at biblical history at all, is that letters came in scrolls. So if you got a letter and you wondered who it was from, you would have had to unwrap the whole scroll all the way down and say, oh, that's from Peter, or that's from Paul. And then you've got a pile of paper and you'd have to scroll it all the way back up again to start reading it. Probably not true, but that's the way I like to think of it. Is that all it is? Is that just the person's name and who they're writing to? Or is there more to it than that? Well, often, perhaps always within those letters, within the introduction to the letters, there's one or two gems for us to grab. I mean, just take the ending of that opening greeting. If that's not too much of a contradiction, ending of an opening greeting. Grace and peace as a prayer. Grace and peace, and not in small portion, be yours in abundance. In this season, we all need a bit of that, don't we? Maybe you could even pause and think about who it is in your family, in your church, in your community, among your friends, who need a bit of that. Grace and peace. And then I've picked this reading because it fits this Frontline Sunday series. We're the church in mission, we're gathered and then we scatter, and we're called into all the world to make all the difference in the world, including the places that you find yourself, even with limited geographical movement. So while we might not know the places that are listed there, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and what they exactly mean by Asia isn't quite the same as what we mean by that category now. They're specific places. The church is a body of people, and we normally have this pattern, you see, of gathering and scattering. And we have this pattern now, even though it's slightly different. The method and location of gathering might be different, but we still gather and we scatter. Our ways of scattering throughout the week may be the same for some of you, or maybe different. But there's an interplay between the two. There should be a relationship between the two. One should inform the other. Despite being a minority, Christians are called to make a difference in the world, hence the title for today, for Christ, wherever they are, whatever they do, Monday to Saturday, as well as on Sunday, and to grow as disciples for their front lines, for the places that they find themselves, particularly places that they find themselves spending time with people who don't yet share their faith. So in this letter, scattered groups of Christians in what is modern day Turkey, the Apostle Peter writes to them to like ignite their imagination and to inspire them with the possibility of what their everyday lives could look like in a complex world. And in order to do that, Peter uses two pivotal words from the Old Testament, even though they're not all Old Testament Jewish background people, in order to convey to them who they are and what they're supposed to be doing. And those two words are elect in the introduction and exiles in the introduction. And they're there to help the church, and so applies to you and me now, to know who they are. They and we in the UK are in a small minority in the nations that we find ourselves. And in the main, we're with people who don't worship Jesus right now. And yet they have a role, and that role can be described as the elect and the exiles. One of the ways that we illustrate that at LICC, and I've put my banner up here, make a difference wherever you are, and you might be able to see some dots there in the image, if I just stand to one side, is with this image of dots. All of the dots represent the population of the UK, and the red dots represent those who are Christians, would identify as Christians, and would attend church physically when we could, or online when we were, now in the way that we can, at least monthly, and that represents about 6 out of that 100 in the UK. And there they are in one grouping. And that's how we can view church and Christians, that we gather together and we can try and have some influence among the grey dots, do you see, that we are close to. But for the majority of our time, throughout the week, that's not the picture. Our red dots are, and here's the second image, out and about, all over the place. And the number of grey dots that we make contact with is so much more than in that context. We live as a people with a distinct story and a distinct culture, trying to stay red in that sense, rather than grey out, but trying to make a difference wherever we find ourselves. So that when we gather, those dots in the corner, or now online, we're to equip each other for when we're scattered. Right now, if you tell your friends, if you tell people that you go to church, physically or online, they will think that you do that for a number of reasons, typically. They'll think that you do it because you're religious and it's what you do. They may think that you do it because of a social aspect. And so it's great to have a social connection. That's your thing. I go to the tennis club, you go to church. It's a social thing. They may also accept that it's just like a charity and it's a community and it does some good works. Whilst there's a grain of truth in all of those things, those descriptions miss what the New Testament suggests church is all about. When Peter begins his letter to a small group of Christians scattered across ancient Turkey, he wants them to understand what it means to be church, and he does so by using these two stunning truth words, elect and exiles. Now, elect. Elect sounds like an exclusive club. like you're in and others are out. But it dates back to the Old Testament, and what it really conveys is that God's people are blessed, they're chosen, they're elected to be a blessing to all the other people and all the other nations around them. Now, not all of these early Christians who Peter's writing to would be Jewish by birth, but he wants them to know that now they are in that category. They are elect. They're living with a new reality and a new light, and it should make a difference. So by saying elect, he's saying to you and to me and to the people he first wrote to, you're part of this story, you're God's elect, you've been chosen by the Father, and you're set apart by the Holy Spirit in order that you might live lives in obedience to Jesus Christ that make a difference wherever you find yourselves. And then Paul then says that we're sanctified by his Spirit. In other words, we're made holy to live and work in the challenging places where we find ourselves. And just as now, back then, some of those people would have found themselves in places with restrictions and places where they didn't want to be. We are red dots when we gather, and we are red dots when we scatter. God's chosen people to make a difference wherever we are. And then the second term he uses is exiles. And here Peter is using and thinking back to one of the great disaster and bad news times of the Old Testament, when God's people have lost their land, Israel have lost their land, and they hope for a quick return, but the prophets told them that that wasn't going to be the way, and that they nevertheless were to remain distinct wherever they are. They're not fully where they want to be, as we're not, in many ways right now, and yet we're to convey the values of who we are and what we believe in. We're to be a light to the nations. So we're called to shine, as Philippians 2 and verse 14 to 16 talk about. So yes, it's important that we don't grey out in those circumstances. And LICC talk about the language of frontline in order to describe this. I think I conveyed that to you on one of my visits, but you may not have been around at Wilton in that time. Frontline's a term that's increasingly used in our culture, isn't it? And you may have a number of associations with it. You might be thinking of a military frontline, or you might be thinking of the term of frontline workers who are doing so much important key work, we also say, in this season. Here we are simply saying our frontline, your frontline and mine, is the place where we spend most time right now with people who don't yet share our faith. And that could be workplace, it could be in a meeting if you're still going out to meetings, depending on your type of work. It could be on a screen these days, it could be your family in your house, it could be your neighbours, it could be the local shop. Where is your frontline? Those everyday places. And now we're called, we are exiles, not where we want to be, but called to be those people wherever we find ourselves. So I perhaps should have explained that I now work for LICC. I was conveying their values before, but I was a Baptist minister in Chichester, and still living in Chichester at the moment, as you can see from the opening. But I so believe that it is key for all our groupings of churches, for the church in the UK, to be equipping God's people to be these effective exiles wherever they find themselves throughout the week, that I'm committing my time to working for LICC as their church relationships director in order for this message to be embedded in the life of how we do church. Now, if you're doing this series, there are little video clips. I think they're really good, like a minute and a half each Sunday, and you will see or will have just seen one this week. What I like about them is that they're short and you can get them, and they follow the same four people each time. And it's a good mix. You've got a plumber, a granny, an office worker, somebody volunteering to coach sport. You've got male and female, you've got all ages, you've got different ethnic backgrounds and so on. It's a good mix. It's also helpful, I think, to think about how these different people, although they're made up stories and just examples, how their lives may have changed in these COVID times, and their frontline may have changed in these COVID times or not. Because in COVID times, some things have dramatically changed. For some people, their frontline has dramatically changed, and for others, it hasn't. And unless we consider that, we can just have the idea that we're all working from home now, and that's far from true. I read this from a writer in The Guardian a few weeks ago, describing this difference. He said, a gulf rapidly opened up, he's talking about the start of COVID, between those who complained about Zoom fatigue, laughing and dressing to impress above the waist while wearing leisure wear below, and those who had no such option, those whose places of work were shut and who suddenly feared for their livelihoods. The former saw no hit in their income. On the contrary, now that their outgoings were sharply reduced, their finances became plumper in the first half of 2020. UK household savings rose by 100 billion. For some in that category, lockdown meant baking sourdough bread, learning a language, pausing to smell the roses. But for those on the other side of the working from home divide, especially those with jobs in retail or hospitality, contingent on actual places being open to actual people, lockdown meant waiting on furlough payments and government support, knowing that eventually the help would run out. It meant families living on top of each other, often in cramped flats, and suddenly felt twice as small now that everyone was kept from home. It meant keeping children at home from spring to autumn, from climbing the walls, and now we would say through winter too. Jonathan Friedland in The Guardian. And that's important because if we think of, we're all working from home more, and we may not be going back to working in offices in the way that we did before, really, that's a particular grouping. It's white-collar, non-key workers for whom that's mostly true. So take the examples in this little video clip. You've got a plumber, a granny, an office worker, and somebody who volunteers coaching football. Well, if you're a plumber, you're not working from home. The job hasn't changed much. If you're a Christian plumber, you've got to wear a mask, and like everybody else, as you go into everybody's home, got to keep social distance, probably don't have a cup of tea or coffee in the same way. It might be harder to have rapport, but you're still out and about. If you're a granny who was looking after the grandchildren, you may or may not have had a dramatic change in that role. The kids may be at home with their parents or guardians, or that those parents or guardians may be out working and you may still be looking after the grandchildren, might not have changed at all, you might be in a bubble with them. Frontlines for older people have changed too in lockdown. And many feel lonely and isolated or have lost the key role that they were doing, others absolutely not. Maybe that's the point, it's hard to generalise. The office worker, depending on their work, probably is working from home in that example. Certainly many are, and many have found the advantages and disadvantages of that. Big companies are planning much less office space going forward, if you look at what some of the big banks are predicting, for example. That person coaching sport, well, that's changed multiple times in the last 11 months, hasn't it? From lockdown, then allowed, then limitations, then not allowed, and currently not allowed still, unless you're in premier professional sport. A couple of things to consider about being in exile right now, being a Christian in your front line. If a lot of your front line is online, then it seems to me that a lot of conversations become spiritual via social conversations. We have social chats and then people ask us about our weekend, ask us about our faith even, and they can become spiritual. And a lot of online conversations are more functional. So if they're more functional, how do we make room for the more spiritual? It might be that we have to create the space for that. We create the social space and then pray that the spiritual comes up. It's also the case, I think, that Christians are often the ones people turn to share how they're feeling, to share what's going on in times of anxiety. Now, this is a key time of anxiety for so many. So can we be praying for each other that we will be people of peace, of shalom, for others, whether we're seeing them physically or online, in this season? The question, how are you, has become a real question rather than just an introduction now. People expect real answers now, and that could be some advantage to us. Peter concludes this opening greeting with stunning truth that our situations are known by God, that we've been set apart by the Spirit, and that we have this relationship with Jesus. We are sprinkled by his blood, cleaned by him. And we live with the implications then, in effect, of the gospel in our scattered places. We are elect and we are exiles. This series, which I'm so delighted you're looking at, will explore the implications of that for all of us, wherever we are, whatever we do, now and when we are post-COVID, finally. We are red dots when we gather to strengthen one another, to be distinct people, and we are red dots when we scatter to many different places, with many different people, with the people with whom we can make all the difference in the world. You and I have a part to play in God's purposes, and so I don't know all of your stories, but you can tell them to each other. Affirm and pray for each other on their front lines. You know, Bill the dog walker in your church, making that name up, or Sylvia on the checkout at Asda, or John and Judy with their foster kids, or Kwame in the bank, or Stephen starting up a business and how is that going in this season, or Jess the local councillor, and we've seen how difficult local council work can be online in this period. Whatever your role, it's good to be picturing it for each other and praying and supporting one another. I pray that as you look at this series, you will see that God has you there, where you are and where you will be tomorrow, for a reason, and every day. And you will see both the opportunities and the challenges of that season. And you'll be able to pray about the opportunities and the challenges. So as you go as God's chosen elect to be good news for others. Go as exiles, scattered in this strange limbo time. May it be a fruitful time, because you convey and display the hope that people need most. Amen.
I'm really glad we've got this series over the coming weeks, when we're going to be exploring a little bit about where our front lines are. I know not everyone finds that easy. Perhaps some of us don't believe we actually have got anything really good to share. And it's absolutely true that we all have. And I'm really looking forward to digging into this a little bit and encouraging each other. House groups are a fantastic place to do this. And our groups might be doing different things at the moment, but I really hope that we'll be encouraging each other to focus on where it is that we can make all the difference in the world. If you're not in a group yet, do get in touch. We'd really love to connect you with the right place for you. Have a fantastic week. God bless.